want.
Wait, you want me to not mute?
Yeah, because it sends a signal to our system here, and for some reason last week we were truncated early, and we had the last couple of minutes of the meeting cut off.
Well, what are you going to do when my kids start yelling?
You can try muting now, and we're going to see if you're still connected.
Okay.
Okay. Is everybody still with us?
Yep. Kathy's here.
Okay.
I'm here. You were on mute,
right.
But I'm here.
Okay. Who just entered the last four digits, 2472, please?
Dorothy Wonderworth.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hello.
And who entered 0851, please?
Mike Smith is 2472.
Who?
Mike Smith.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you, Donna?
Good, thank you. Whoops. All right. Okay.
Can everybody hear me fine?
You're a little bit in the distance and echoey, Jay.
Okay, let me move up to the phone. We're trying to keep our social distancing here. All right. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 9:05. And into it. I have a second.
Jake's breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry, I have a motion to approve the agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Second it, all in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Okay.
I'll abstain.
Okay, Adam, abstain. What I'd like to do for the convenience of those who have called, and I really do appreciate everybody taking the time to call in with this pandemic that we have, but what I want to do for your convenience as well as ours is after each section of the agenda, for example, administration, accounts payable, signature items, commissioner's report, I'm going to open up the phone lines for public comment after each section. So if you have a public comment, you don't have to wait till the very end of the meeting to make that comment. I'm trying to do that so that we can get the meeting to go through quickly and also give you guys the convenience of making comments on subject matter that we just discussed. All right, so we have Kelly Robitel, our DPW foreman, in the room. And I'm going to let Kelly give his report. I'm going to ask him to speak up because he's further away from the phone than I am.
All right. I'm going to give the commissioners a driveway permit application. It's for 51 Burn Drive. It's a paid, it's going to be paid. I've looked at it and gave my recommendation. It'd be no problem.
Okay, so Kelly has, we have a driveway application in place to pave an existing driveway at number 51 Burn Drive. Kelly gave his recommendation as to pave for the drawing that was submitted. I'll make a motion that we sign the driveway application and go with Kelly's recommendation. Do I have a second?
I'll
second it.
Okay, thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Was there any work required to be done by that homeowner, or was it the driveway acceptable as is?
They have a drawing of how it's going to be, and I just stipulated that they do it as per the drawing because the drawing will make it right. I know the pavement company. I spoke with them, and they're going to work with me to make sure it's done right.
Okay. Okay. So I'll vote yes.
Okay, Adam. Okay. That is approved.
2-0.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't have a lot today. We have quite a episode going on downstairs with the tight tank installation. We've been dealing with that along with the contractor. We can talk about that in a minute. Jay knows all about what's going on. The only thing I want to address is that we have no water in the building. We have no bathrooms. Not such a big issue for me and Jeff. We're used to the outdoors, so we're getting around it. I feel bad for Donna, though. No one's mentioned that, but Donna's kind of stuck here with no facilities. And we have the biggest thing is we have no means of washing our hands. We have 5 additional people downstairs in this construction crew using everything and touching everything. Not that I'm a big, I'm a tougher guy than that, but these days, not to be able to wash your hands seems like a big issue. I don't have a way around that. Jeff and I are using the outhouses at the beaches right now to do our business, but as for Donna, she should not have to put up with this.
I've been going home, but I'm a nervous wreck, I have to tell you. I'm hearing through my daughter too many things that it's not acceptable. And I know from working my past job, the Board of Health would close us down immediately.
Doesn't look like we're going to get water back till Monday.
So this is Jay, and I'll give you guys an update. Obviously, during yesterday's installation of the tight tank, we actually did find the water main that came into this building, or a surface line that came into this building. It was grabbed, and unfortunately, it was broken. Ian rushed out to the site, turned the water off. The water is still currently off, and we need to reroute the water line. We're going to actually put it in a new place. As everybody knows, or I hope everybody knows, the water line to this building often froze every winter because it was too shallow. And what we're planning on doing now, because the tank is pretty much in the way of rerouting the water line, we're going to go out of the front of the building and directly across the parking area in front of the garage doors to that 6-inch water main that comes from our main source of water, the DPW well. It's going to be a short stretch of maybe 300 to 400 feet of water line. Ian has already priced it out and got a rough estimate from, I believe it was Dawson Excavation. One thing that Kelly had brought up is that while Dawson is here with the excavator digging the trench and Ian is laying the line, that Kelly can actually, with the backhoe, do the backfill on this, which we're hoping will cut the estimate hopefully in half and let it be a one-day project. So that's where we are, and that looks like it was supposed to happen today, but because of the heavy rains that we're supposed to get, that's out of the picture. But it looks like it's going to be Monday. Is that correct?
Yeah. And along with that, I talked to Ian, and we're going to have a outside water spigot installed for washing vehicles. We never had that before. So, and it's also going to eliminate the blow off on the back of the building. So some good things are coming out of this. It's not a bright light, but there are some good things to it. But it's holding us kind of hostage here.
So that's the other good news that Kelly just mentioned, the bleeder valve that always spewed water out during the winter months and created that ice sculpture in back of the building will be eliminated because we're going to bury this pipe far enough down so that we don't have to keep it running. So that's what Rick Starenko loves to hear, elimination of bleeder valves.
So do we think,
Go ahead.
We're thinking closer to $2,500?
Yeah, we don't have the exact number. I'm not sure if that number was for both Ian's work and Dawson's. Obviously the cost would be significantly reduced.
What's going to happen, Kathy, is a determination on how far away water service has to be from a hazardous tank. And if we're within the proximity of the tank, then line will have to be sleeved to protect the water, and Ian knows about this. That would be an added cost. We don't know if that has to be done yet. So whether that was figured in the initial estimate, I don't know, but that would be a cost savings. I don't think we're going to go to the extreme because it's really easy digging. They only need to bring in a mini excavator, and we'll do the rest with our backhoe. I think that's worst case, the estimate we got.
Okay.
So when was the decision? When was the decision made to move? When was the decision made to move the pipe and expend this money and stuff? Because I asked for a meeting via email 2 days ago and was told no. And it seems like decisions have been made without a commissioner's meeting. So I'm confused.
Well, the decision hasn't been made. It's been made to move the discussion and decision to this meeting.
Well, but that's not actually accurate, because if it hadn't rained or the schedule wasn't for rain, it would have been done today, which would have been...
After this meeting.
We would have signed and made a decision right here this morning and called Dawson in.
They weren't coming until they got a phone call from me.
Okay, well, that wasn't what it looked like on the email that I got. It looked like they were going to be starting.
Yeah, they would have started today if we gave them the decision this morning as of this meeting. As a matter of fact, we made the decision right now. We could call them at this meeting and just say, come on in at your convenience. That was the plan.
Well, why was a water line hit? I mean, we told them where the water line was. They had the drawing of where the water line was. So why was a water line hit? And if we had the drawing of where the water line was, then why didn't we know ahead of time that we couldn't put the water line there? Like, I don't understand. I'd like an explanation. I think the public does, too.
As usual, the drawing was on a cocktail napkin. There was no measurements. There was no actual location measurement for that line. It just showed a pencil mark where it might be. They had two machines. They had four people keeping an eye on it. When you catch a pipe with a tube of any equipment, there's no stopping it. It's going to rip it. I feel bad for these guys. They, from what I could tell, they took every precaution, but there was an unknown water line that they got away from. I don't know how to explain.
It wasn't an unknown water line. Ian sent Jay a picture exactly where the water line was, and the water line was exactly where the picture showed it was. So.
No. What do you mean exactly? What dimension are you referencing?
Ian sent you a picture. Ian sent you a picture of where the water line was. They dug in that location, and the water line was hit in that location. So I'm a little bit confused as to how there's not a discussion about whose liability this is. I'm a little bit confused as to why we're talking about moving a water line because DES would like it, when if we'd known DES would have mandated that before, then the original drawing from Chris shouldn't have been used, and we should have gone to the public with the correct numbers at the annual meeting. But if there was a possibility that DES was going to say, move this water line because this isn't permissible, then we should have gone to the public with this extra expense as part of the warrant article. And they should have been presented it, not just having the thing ignored, and then Kathy and I get an email saying, hey, we're just going to take the money from the Capital Reserve Fund, no big deal. Like, that's not how this is supposed to work.
I've got to take offense to this. I'm sorry, but I've got to try to keep my mouth shut. But this project was given to me the day before town meeting.
I'm not faulting you, Kelly. Kelly, I'm not faulting you.
The whole project, the whole thing was given to all of us the day before town meeting. The bid, in reality, should have had a contingency for these problems. You don't go in with a bid the exact number. You go in with 20%, 10, something on top. That $17,000 warrant should have been 20, and then you get the change back. I've run projects. I've been part of these projects. Water mains get hit. They get nicked. We knew that there was a possibility because I brought it up the week before that there was a water pipe there. We had to find it. I'm trying to defend these guys because I saw no wrongdoing with them. They did what they had to do, but this is how it happened.
Well, I'm talking about how the project overall was orchestrated, because ultimately we're in a situation here where this has been, Kelly, you and I met like last March about this project. You said we needed to get this done. It's been on the Board of Commissioners radar since last March. So there's no excuse for this being done in a haphazard manner where all of a sudden the commissioners say, geez, you know, we didn't know we had to move a water line for this. Like, I think the public needs to understand. So, yeah, Kelly, I agree with you that we didn't get the drawing from Crystal 11th hour. The question is, why wasn't this done 8-10 months ago?
I don't have an answer to that. It wasn't my job, so...
Kelly, I said 3 minutes ago, I'm not blaming you.
But I guess in reality what I'm saying, Adam, it should have been my job. I take offense because I feel responsible. This should be my job. And I should be, you know, and I don't mind taking the responsibility for such a thing, but I'm saying if this was my job, it would have been done months ago. We would have had, we would have known, we would have done exploratory to find the water. A lot of things would have been done differently if it was my job.
I agree, Kelly. I think the... I agree, Kelly. The project was mishandled.
By whom? By whom?
You tell me who was in charge of this project, Jay.
let's see. Who got the quotes from... Who got the design from Chris Albert?
You did.
Which? No, no. Kathy, did you reach out to Chris?
I believe that I sent a request to White Mountain and to, and I don't know if I sent it to Jones and Beach or not. I remember reaching out to White Mountain Survey on that.
Yeah, and I reached out.
I think Jay, you and I both discussed it and spent time researching the history of the situation. So I don't have a direct answer for that.
Yeah. So bottom line is, it all came at the 11th hour. That's the problem.
It shouldn't have. This has been on the radar for 12 months.
Right. Yeah. But we were wasting commissioners' time dealing with employee handbooks.
Anyway, that's irrelevant. Jay, that's irrelevant. I guess...
Somebody should have known
that there was a potential water line going through that area.
Can we back up to last week's meeting? Kelly Robitaille sat here in the chair that I'm sitting and mentioned that. He said,
okay,
we're going to be real close to that water line. And the process was, we're going to try to find that water line by digging back from the building where we know it comes out,
mm-hmm,
and trace it where it is in the ground. While trying to do that, they actually grabbed the water line with the backhoe.
Right. Well, I guess we're saying that if we knew that there was a water line there, when did we know that it would be in violation of the distance from the tight tank?
If we never saw the water line, it would never be in violation because we wouldn't know anything about it. Now that it's exposed and breached, now it becomes our responsibility. It's the kind of thing... You're not going to dig up a line because it might be in violation. Now that we see it's in violation, we have to take action.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think that was my question. If there was a known... Okay. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, we knew there was a water line there because Ian sent Jay the picture. So we can't say we didn't know that. The project should have been put on hold once Ian got Jay the picture. We didn't know that... I mean, I didn't know Ian sent Jay a picture until... yesterday or the day before. It didn't come out to the Board of Commissioners in an email. The conversation happened. I didn't know. I assume Kathy didn't know because there was no email of that conversation. I don't understand why this project wasn't either put on hold for a commissioners meeting today or had an extra meeting put in to say, okay, now that we know the water line is here, what are we going to do about it? It just seems like this whole thing was done wrong.
Well, if that's your level of engineering, that's fine. Any engineer who would design a tank to go in a location, and that engineer knowing that there's a water line coming out of that side of the building, should have done what they call dig safe. Find out where all the utilities are in the ground before they design where that tank's going.
So you're saying it's the engineer who calls dig safe, not the contractor who's doing the work?
Absolutely. the engineer, you don't want to be designing something in a place where you don't know what's in the ground. The
okay, so why was this not so why wasn't this discussed in a commissioner's meeting to call DigSafe so that all the information is there and we would limit the chance of this happening?
Well,
like, it seems like this the system wasn't, like, we didn't handle this properly. We need to own this. We need to do better, and we need to put in safeguards that this doesn't happen again. This is the type of mismanagement of a project that is why I ran as a commissioner. This is no different than Bergdorf having a 2-inch line put in when a 4-inch line should have been put in. It's people not knowing their job and not doing it properly. So how are we going to fix it so it doesn't happen again?
That warrant article should have been removed from the floor. We weren't ready.
Well, that's unacceptable considering it was 12 months ago we knew we had an issue that had to be fixed. So
right.
Saying we weren't ready is unacceptable. We should have been ready. And I don't understand why we weren't ready.
Because of employee handbook and wasted hours on certain things like that, Adam.
That's not an acceptable answer.
I'm sorry.
You haven't looked at the employee handbook in 3 months, Jay.
So, listen. First of all, this conversation, although has some validity, doesn't impact what are we going to do with the circumstances that we now have at hand. And I believe that, you know, I certainly share some responsibility. I was the one that worked with Department of Labor when we realized that we had no choice but to get that tight tank situation under control. It's been kicked around for 10 years or more. And so I certainly can accept some of the responsibility of not pushing forward and getting information in a more timely manner. So I certainly can accept some of the responsibility for that. But having said that, it doesn't change where we are at this 5 minutes. Now we know there is a water line there. It's incumbent upon us to replace it within DES recommendations. I think what Kelly said was if the water line hadn't been hit and there was no repair, we could have left it where it was if we were able to work around it.
Right.
So I think going from this, you know, moment forward.
So why do we have
to
move it?
To
why can't the line be in the exact same location, whether it's dug deeper or not? And I don't understand why the contractor doesn't hold some of the liability on this. We gave him a drawing
I think the answer to the first part is that Kelly said that if something's in the ground, it's grandfathered in there. If it's dug up and now it's a known issue and there is work being done on it, it has to meet the new requirement of being so many feet away from the tight tank.
Right. Exactly right, Kathy.
So regardless of whether or not the contractor hit this line, we would have had to have moved it anyway?
Yes. That's what I was explaining in my email. And by moving it, we have the opportunity now of eliminating the bleeder valve.
Even if they didn't break it, but they exposed it, which they would have had to dig the hole they had to, we still had to.
It moved it. Okay.
So then why were we worried about where it was? Like, it just seems like then that's a different set of questions that come up. Like, we knew the water line was there. So then we knew we were going to expose it.
There were no measurements.
There's no a line in the middle of the road means you don't even know what side it's on, Adam.
No, Ian's picture showed where it was, and they dug where Ian said it was, and they hit it. We had a pretty darn good idea based on Ian's picture where that was.
No, you don't. We have pictures of water.
Can I just ask you a question? Where's the picture? I didn't see a copy of the pictures. Was it a map? Was it a cocktail napkin? Was it
a drawing? A hand drawing with lines. There's no footage. There's no inches. It's just a line.
It shows a square rectangular building and a line coming out of it and then turning and going up what is described. But there's no boundaries. There's no measurement to where that line might be.
First of all, any picture that was sent from a commissioner to a contractor should have gone on a video email address, which is the exact reason why Kathy and I said, let's start having video email addresses. The office should have been included on it. and this should have gone to all of us. The fact that it didn't is outrageous. That way we could all be looking at exactly what the picture is, but we don't know what the picture is because we didn't get the picture, and the picture wasn't sent by state law.
I agree, Adam, that, yes, Jay should have summarized his conversation with Ian and forwarded us the information as it was brought to his attention about what we're dealing with that tank. And we didn't get anything. So I agree that that should have been done.
Yeah, I want to...
But the point is, it wasn't.
Point. Right, that's a great point. And I was asked by Adam also to review the employee handbook redline from the attorney. And I have it here right in front of me. Because I didn't get a copy of it through email. I got a copy from Donna. And I'm looking at the email thread, and it goes from Kathy.
Okay, we're changing subjects. We're on a tight tank right now.
Hang on, let me.
You want to talk about an employee handbook? We'll do that another time. It's on the agenda.
No.
Let's stop wasting Kelly's
time
talking about it.
Come on. Go ahead. Adam, I was not included on the email thread or distribution of this employee handbook.
I don't
it's
believe you.
Donna.
I have no evidence of that.
Adam, please, do not try to defend yourself. I have so much evidence.
Okay. Have whatever you want, Jay. Let's get the tight tank figured out and stop wasting people's time.
All right. I'm running the meeting, Adam, as the chair, if you don't mind. Okay. Now, we've got a water line that we need to install, and that will come from the front of the building. It might have to be sleeved. Ian's trying to find that information out. We have an estimated cost from Ian of $4,000 to $5,000. And I'm going to ask Donna right now, did you have a chance to write that work order?
No.
Okay.
No.
I asked Donna a couple of days ago to write a work order, but she has been incredibly busy here, and I can certainly attest to that. So I guess the question is, and what's on the table is, making a motion, and I'll make the motion, to appropriate, and I'll say $5,500, I'm leaving some contingency there, to install a new water service line from the water main at the well to the DPW building.
And where is that going to be funded from?
Well, that's the question that I wanted to have. I suggested in my email that it come out of, we could either take it out of the pipeline fund, capital reserve fund, or the water repair fund.
Well, in the water line extension fund that's funded by water hookups, there's about $10,000 in that.
Yep.
I guess it doesn't. I mean, if it's coming out of capital reserve fund, we've got four funds all relating to the water system. So I don't know if it makes. One's water tank. We can't take it out of water tank. We've got water system, pipeline, and water line extension.
Well, that was the thing. We have pipeline. I think we have $42,000 in that one.
I'd have to look. I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, we were contributing $20,000 a year, and plus the interest that it's gained, I think, is at $42,000.
Okay. Well, then maybe do it out of the water line extension, because I think the $8,000 water hookup was kind of meant for as we're expanding the district and adding new homes to use the money for extending it, where this is really a repair, not an extension.
Right.
So if we use it out of the pipeline replacement CRF.
Okay. So the water line extension fund?
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense.
Okay.
And we'll now Adam, I've got a question. Is Chris Albert starting to do some sort of an asset management plan for us on the water?
Well, I don't think he can do a whole lot of anything until we know which contracts we're going to accept next Friday in that meeting.
But part of his overall, part of our overall plan was to, starting with this Reinhardt tank, is to put that on some sort of a electronic format. Okay.
Yeah, that's so, part of it. So, I mean, we were hoping that the voter was going to give us access to another $40,000 of money, 20 from the district and 20 from the state, to complete that
plan,
and the voter refused
right.
to do it. So it's going to be an incomplete plan for at least another 2 years. But, yes, we will have some sort of...
Okay. Well, so I'm saying is any of the work that we're doing now for this whole new project, make sure that we get information from Ian or whomever that's documented and accurate that he can incorporate into his... Well, whoever can incorporate into the overall water plan.
Yeah, it's going to be. So you want it coming out of the pipeline replacement fund. Is that right, Kathy?
The water line, the water line extension. Not the fund that's funded by the slope cut fees, the other one. I think it's just called pipeline.
Oh, so that's a capital reserve, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so do we have $5,500 in it?
Yes.
And why are we allowing that much money when they said a worst case scenario is like $4,000 or $5,000?
Well, if we have to sleeve the water line, there could be additional cost there. And Ian's checking with DES right now or today to find out if in fact that has to be done.
Okay, and I would say that, well, first of all, I don't think I heard a second, so we should have a second on that, and we should vote on...
I'll second.
Well, right, Jay said...
Jay, you made the motion, so he can't second it. So
okay, well,
the motion is
the motion.
To spend up to $5,500 out of the Capital Reserve Pipeline Fund to repair this. That's what the motion is?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's more than repair. It's just... Yes, I did.
Kathy, you seconded it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, all right. My question to you guys is, I think we should have an email go out to Rick Skaranka and ask him if this becomes a reimbursable 24% expense as part of our grant from the state. My guess is that it will be.
So would that be considered a water? It would be considered a water system improvement.
This fits the criteria. To the best of my knowledge, this fits the criteria, and when we take this money out of the Capital Reserve Fund, we should get 24% back.
I don't want to muddy the waters with this type of chasing down. 24%.
Well, that would be from the grant, but the grant is separate from the tank. So it's really any of our any water system improvement.
Yeah, the whole point of this thing was written was that $85,000 of CRF money would be used in addition to the bond money and for upgrades. We're removing a bleeder. One of the things we talked about on the grant was removing bleeders. If this project allows for the removal of a bleeder, there's no reason why we shouldn't spend the Capital Reserve money like Jay had already asked to do and then have us get 24% of the money back. That's worth $1,000. Maybe
that makes
more.
Sense
I mean,
to me. Yeah, Jay, that does make sense.
Well, we can ask the question, but it shouldn't stop the motion from going through and getting the work done.
No, it shouldn't. Oh, no, it shouldn't. We've got to do it no matter what. But why would we not want to do it and then go one step further and submit it as part of monies that were allocated through the grant?
Right. It may be difficult only because it's not part of the alternative additives. And I'm not sure if DES is going to want to see the list of those contractors associated with those projects. So this is obviously a very separate
DES project. Doesn't want to see that. DES said they want to see upgrades to the water system, removal of bleeders. But look at familiarize yourself with the grant. The grant application says exactly these things. This fits. 90% sure this fits. Let's have Donna send them an email and ask.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay.
But
so the motion as is, do you want to amend it, Jay, or make a separate motion?
No, we'll leave the motion as is to appropriate up to $5,500 to install the water line to the DPW garage to the 6-inch water main from the DPW line.
Okay. Yeah, and then when this, so I'll vote yes, and when this is
done.
Okay,
we all voted yes.
I'll vote
yes. So then when this is done, let's take the receipt. all receipts and just send it to Rick and ask for approval. Or we can proactively ask him ahead of time and say, hey, listen, this is the project we're doing. This is the outline of it, removal of leader, updated water line, blah, 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 and then say, do you want to give us back the 24%? I don't care which way we do it. If someone has an opinion, great, but I believe this absolutely should get us somewhere between $1,000 and $3,000.
So I think that we should do it proactively so he doesn't think, oh, they just the repair had to happen and that we're going after the money sort of after the fact. That I think being proactive would be a better way to do it.
Okay.
To send them a note saying that because of a tight tank installation, this is a plan to move the water line, blah, 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 as Jay outlined, and, you know, we're hoping that this is acceptable or we're
however
you want to say it. Okay.
I've been the guy in charge of the water tank project. I'm the guy who's met with Rick Skaranka. I will write the email. I will draft it for you guys' approval, and then the board can approve it.
Okay. Okay. I think we should be proactive, though. I think that's a good suggestion.
Fine.
Okay. We all had a yes vote on that, so can we move on?
Is that what you guys want? You want me to draft?
Yes.
You want me to draft a letter for the board's approval?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do it.
I'll move on. Do we have the...
That's a good thought. Thank you, Adam.
You're welcome.
Commission's meeting of 3/26/20. I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of 3/26/20. Yep. You didn't put those out yet?
I don't know if I did.
Okay.
To be honest. But.
Yeah, I don't think I saw them yet.
Yeah, I don't think
All
I
right.
did.
Okay. Let's move on to the next subject matter. The video.
Can I interrupt for 1 second, Jay? Jay, can I interrupt for 1 second? So, Donna, could you send me the 3/12 minutes so I can put them on the website? March
12th. Yep.
Yep. If I had them, I don't seem to have them, but go ahead. Thanks. If you could send them to me again, that would be great.
Okay, we have the VDOE portal issues for Kayak.
Right, hold on, Jay. In the beginning of the meeting, you said you were going to open this up for public comment after each topic. Are you going to open this up for people to discuss the tight tank?
No, I think you misunderstood me. After administration issues are all discussed, we will open it up for public comment.
Okay.
Each section of the agenda, not each item in the agenda. Okay? So we have the portal issues for the kayaks. So Andrew Hardevelt has, I guess, created a portal, and we've had a lot of issues.
Well, Jay, there was one issue when he was updating the mobile side of it, which he corrected within 2 minutes. So everything is fine.
Yeah, I guess my concern is the amount of time it took here in the office to address those issues.
Well, I can tell you it's a lot less time than it took Nancy last year to do it the way she had it set up last year.
Right. But going back to what Adam just mentioned earlier about process, making sure that everything, all the T's are crossed and I's dotted, this obviously went out and had some errors right from the get-go. I guess my other question is, there's a lot of stuff going on with this portal. I guess the individual had sent an email this morning wanting to set up another sign-up for beach cleaning. I guess where is this authority coming from?
Well, maybe we need to send them an email and say, Andrew, or let one of us just talk to him. It should probably be me because I have a good relationship with him. And just say, hey, Andrew, before you do anything on these things, make sure you get board approval.
Yeah, so he needs to talk to the board, either by phone, preferably by phone now. But
He does send everything into the office, anything that he's considering or that he thinks might be a good idea going forward. He wanted to pay the water bills through the portal, but because of the way our QuickBooks are set up, that's not going to be an easy option. So that we're going to defer that to QuickBooks directly.
Can
so
I
he does communicate with the office.
Here? Excuse
sure.
me. Can I ask a question here? Can I want to know how Andrew was answering emails through the office to residents. I got two emails between yesterday and after I left that Andrew was answering a resident through the VDOE website.
So
the website
Donna,
or the portal?
Yeah, what Donna is
the
explaining
portal?
Is...
The email,
yeah.
No.
No, the email.
The VDOE at office. You know,
so Donna's email address, BDUE, office at bdue.nh.org. Andrew has the password to that and was answering on behalf of the office.
All right, well, that's not acceptable. So this needs
that
to be part of the conversation.
Shouldn't be doing that.
So why don't we outline a list of things that we need to have for him. We need to be very careful about how we do this in public or non-public session. Outline exactly what this is, and then present it to him.
Okay. What I want to do today, and I think this would help protect the office as well as Donna, is I'm going to help Donna change her password to the office email address today so that the email address to the office will go to Donna and only be answered by Donna.
Well, why don't we just, rather than change it, which would potentially keep Kristen out, why don't we just have me tell Andrew not to get into the VDOE
well,
email
Kristen's
address?
Well, Kristen's not here in the office, and when she comes back, I can give her the information.
We can do the same with Kristen and set up a password for her. When she
is there any possible repercussions of doing that we're not seeing? So I was the first one to say he shouldn't be doing that. I'm just wondering if by changing the password, it makes it impossible to do the Kayak portal. I mean, I don't know. I honestly have no idea. Technology is not my thing.
The email password for office at VDOE should not impact anything. As long as she writes it down someplace, so if anything happens, we have it.
All right. As long as it's not going to impact anything, that's fine. But I'm concerned it would. So,
my question is, how did Andrew get that password?
Well, I think the only people who have it are Donna and Kristen. So maybe Andrew got it because he was setting up the website. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Andrew has got a tremendous amount of energy and really wants to help us, but we can't allow that type of access to be given to a private citizen. And I didn't want to answer his questions in regards to helping us set up QuickBooks, and he wanted us to give him the password to our financial system, and I just didn't know how to answer that question. I really don't even think it needs to be addressed. We had Rhonda contact us through a portal here the past couple of days, and she has set that up for us. We now have a portal to pay online our water bills. I think that's the way it should be done. Rhonda is insured. She has a company. She has availability when we need her. We need to run the municipality as a governmental agency and not as a garden club.
I think that the kayak registration and the beach raking on a portal is fine.
Right, but we have to find a way to separate that from our mainstay systems.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Okay. Now, Isabel, correct. I apologize, Isabel. Your last name, Faze. Is that close?
It's Faze or Pies. It can be pronounced both ways.
Okay. Thank you. You got a couple options.
Thank you.
Thank you. Isabel had sent in an email in regards to a couple of things, one being the portal and then also communications committee. Do we still have a communications committee, and are they still intact?
We do. The last meeting, we did not have a quorum, So we did not have a meeting in March. So I got permission from the board and drafted the newsletter and had that sent out in March. So we did not have a quorum in March. And I'm trying to remember, we did have a meeting in February, and I don't remember if I couldn't get hold of Isabel or not. But, yes, we do still have a communications committee.
Okay. I didn't know there was a communications committee in scheduled for March. I didn't see it. But
okay. Say that again, Jay.
I didn't realize there was a communications committee this past March.
Well, there was a meeting scheduled, but we did not have a quorum. One of the members had to leave the state to attend to his father, so we did not have a quorum present.
Okay.
Because Isabel calls in by phone, and Mike wasn't available, and the other member had to leave town, so we did not have a quorum.
All right. Okay, and let's move on to water bills, and I'm going to let Donna explain this because Donna has done a great job. They're all printed out. They're sitting beside me. Plus, she's also got the portal activated so people can pay online. So go ahead, Donna.
Okay. For this year, the only way for the online part to be paid, people have to have email addresses to the village. So we can do it through the phone system here when they give me the emails. If we had the emails prior, unbeknownst to both Rhonda and myself, is how they do that. But going forward, as long as we have all the contact information, there's a button at the bottom of the email that we would send out as an email batch. The people can just click on it and give their information. For this year, I have access just to go into their water account, and they can give me the information over the phone. All the bills, like I said, it's written on the bills to go out. And we did the water bill printing yesterday, so they're ready to go out. We just needed the, approval from you. I can send you a copy of a bill just to make sure everything's worded properly and everything for your approval.
So I'll make a motion that we begin stuffing the envelopes and sending the water bills out after both Adam and Kathy have reviewed a copy of one of the bills online by email. If you could send Donna your approval out of session, we can get that started.
Why would we send out water bills when we can do it online?
Well, no, you still have to mail the water bill
because
some people...
Addresses. Adam, that wasn't a requisite for signing up anything. I have 6 people's emails, and those are since I started here with new people coming in.
We should have at least 150 emails because we've got email addresses that are associated with...
Listen, Adam. The email addresses need to be entered into QuickBooks against the customer's billing address. So the emails for the MailChimp with the newsletters is a completely separate system. They do not overlap.
Okay. Well, that's all fine. We should be looking at a long-term solution so that we don't have to spend 50 cents on each mailing plus the time and labor.
Yep.
Okay. Going forward, Adam, if an email, blast goes out to the residents, just to send the office their email address or all their contact information, that can be put right into their account, and not for anything, but like if we have to get in touch with a resident that doesn't have a mailing address here, and if we get the email or a phone number, then we can contact that person sooner than later.
Absolutely. We should have that.
Yeah. And you're right. We waited till the 11th hour to get this done, and we've been talking about it for a year. So it is what it is. We did wait till the last minute to get that done as far as that interface goes.
Yeah, the first year, the email addresses will have to be put in manually. Donna has just asked is that we send out through MailChimp an email blast to our current subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
actually, if it's an email, we already have their email. But asking them to send back a response with their email address that they want to have used for this billing. Now, there are people in the Village District and in this world in general that do not have a computer, do not have email. So the way that Madison does it is that the person, and it states right here on the bill itself today, they can actually call the office. Donna will bring up the screen in QuickBooks with their name and actually fill in the information whether they want to use their credit card or their check right into the system. That actually happens in Madison every year because there are people who will never buy a computer and never have an email address. So they do it online for them at the tax collector's office. So we will always have to send out mailings because, to be honest with you, with a lot of the emails that I see and delete or get thrown into the spam file, we may have a problem in sending the bills out with email. And we should always be sending it out with an actual snail mail to make sure that we get it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what Donna is asking for, is if people could kindly send the email that they would wish to use to do the online billing to the office, and then Donna will manually type those into QuickBooks portion so that we can have that set up going forward so that we don't have to send them a mailing. So I'll make that motion that we send that email blast out through MailChimp.
I want to get the exact wording. So I'm actually going to be, I will probably be home tonight so I can maybe talk to Donna and we can get the exact wording on what we're going to do this year and then what we're preparing for next year.
Okay, yeah. Kathy, and I don't mean, but I'm not comfortable with you traveling and coming into the office until with all this going on. I will gladly over the phone, but I'm going to be in the office, I need you to be quarantined for 14 days.
Yep. I agree.
Okay.
I'm
only conscious now.
Okay.
We plan on being quarantined. We're going to quarantine for 14 days. Don't worry.
Okay.
No face-to-face visits.
So if we're going to send out these water bills like this, the conversation probably needs to happen of if some people are going to end up getting electronic water bills and some people are going to get mailing water bills, we probably want to set a June 1st due date instead of a May 1st due date, yet ask people to pay by May 1st, so that way anybody who doesn't pay by May 1st that would be electronically receiving their bill, we would send them a paper copy.
We're not going to, but right this year we're
not. I'm not saying this year. I'm saying
okay.
We should probably be discussing this or adding it to the ordinance because we've got a whole list of ordinance changes we need to make. So that way, this doesn't get missed. So electronic by, say, May 1st, maybe we even set a different deadline for people. I don't know, but this should be a discussion in a future time before we have a public hearing about these ordinance changes.
Okay,
that's a good point, Don. If you can put that into our pending public hearing ordinance changes, that we need to update the water billing language.
All right. I want to move on to the...
wait a minute. Motion. Can I...
Yeah, we had a motion to...
To stuff the bills
after they've been approved and reviewed by the other two commissioners. Do I have a second on
okay,
that?
Okay, so... Yes,
I don't
second.
Understand why.
I don't know why either, though. Yeah.
I want you to see it and basically...
Well, read it.
And basically,
can you read?
Yeah. All right. I'll read one to you online. Basically, it's from the Village District of Idlewise. It has our address. It is Bill 2, and it has each client's address. There is the date, which is April 1st. That was today when they were printed. The invoice number, which matches up to a spreadsheet in the database. And then it says the 2020 water usage fee. The rate is $400. The amount is $400. Then in a square box, like it was last year, it says, per the water ordinance, a $50 late fee will be applied to any invoice not paid by May 1st. Then underneath that, it says that the 2020 Water Consumer Confidence Report can be viewed at www.bdoe-nh.org/notices/watercr. Now, here's the new piece. Underneath that, it says payments can be made by credit card or ACH as well as paper check, period. Please call the office to pay by credit card or ACH, and then it gives the Village District phone number, 367-9022. So that's it, in a nutshell.
Okay. Okay. So my comment is that Mike Smith, during public comment last week, asked that we push the $50 late fee up a month or two based on the potential of people's income and what's going on with Corona 19.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not going to support that.
I'll second that motion for discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that was his suggestion, and you know.
Well, what did we do? What did we do with the water bill? The paper that we wanted us to see it. Can we just send it out? We have a vote on. We have to vote on that, don't we?
Well, right. I'm just. I mean, they're all printed, so pretty much, unless we reprint all of them, we're going to have to send them out as is.
Okay. Not for anything, but since they're all printed out, I apologize. I probably shouldn't have, but I had Rhonda, and I didn't want to cost the village any more money. If we just stay due to, you know, on an email blast or whatever, that due to the COVID-19, water bills will be due, you know, late. A late fee will be charged June 1st if not paid prior.
Well, I have a similar idea, is that we keep the water bill as printed, which is the due date of May 1st. Now, if people miss that deadline, that the Board of Commissioners simply, if they are paid 30 days after that,
we just won't run the fee. We won't run a batch and then just ask people to pay June 1st.
Right. So when we run the second notice as the late fee, we just exclude the late fee. Now, a lot of people will actually pay on time, so it won't actually affect them. But if that second bill that goes out with the additional $50 late fee, we may just print on that notice that we're waiving the late fee. Please pay as quick as possible, or there will be a late fee.
Yeah, I don't think we should be changing a late fee. I don't think we should be changing a deadline. The bill is what the bill is. The bill's been like this for 40 years. We should just leave this alone and stop creating an issue when one doesn't exist.
No, but you know what, Adam? I mean, there were
questioning it was for the COVID-19. That's why.
Yeah, there's a lot of. Go ahead,
Jay. So there's a lot of people in here that either have lost their jobs or that their household income has certainly been affected by this. I think enough people will pay the water bill that we'll have enough funds. And people that are struggling that are paying rent, or I think we should waive it.
I agree. The tax deadline of April 15th has been pushed out by the federal government.
Yep.
I can't believe that's ever happened, but they did it, and I think we need to be compassionate as well. And I agree with you, Kathy. So I believe we should waive the $50 late fee for 30 days.
I don't think the IRS changed the deadline 90 days because of the economic climate in the country. I think they delayed it 90 days because people aren't working in the office anymore. People are working from home, and therefore
irrelevant.
Even getting the tax documents out is part of it.
But that's irrelevant.
You guys vote how you want to vote. I think you're opening up a huge can of worms. You're going to create confusion. There's going to be issues with so many things for so long if you do this. This is not a one-year thing. You're going to create confusion.
Well, I'll vote in favor of Kathy's motion.
Well, right now we're going to mail the water bills out as is. That's really all that we need to do today.
Exactly. And then if it does come in late, when we issue that second bill, we can type in that we're waiving the $50 late fee.
Okay. And then it will be due on that next...
Why doesn't that decision get made later, then? Why doesn't that decision get made in May or late April? Why are we making a decision now?
All we have to do now is approve mailing the bills out as is.
All right, so I'll table this. How about we table this discussion entirely?
Well, no, we got to approve to send them out as Jay just read them.
Right, but the decision to change the late fee should be tabled for, say, 21 days.
We can discuss it at next week's meeting, yes.
Yeah, all right. We'll put it on the agenda for next week's meeting.
Okay.
So I vote yes on sending the bills out as I described them or read them to you?
And I'll vote yes.
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 Okay. All right, we have the DRA forms. There were several MS forms that were due to the Department of Revenue Administration that were due this past Friday, last week, I should say. And I have to tip my hat to Donna for spending an exorbitant amount of time and effort in getting this done. It was done the day before they were due, and I thought it was a great job, and I want to give Donna kudos for the effort of learning something brand new and getting it done with very little help.
I agree. I know how difficult it is.
Oh, yeah. We also had Tamer Robinson email in regards to the 2019 audit and her filing of the MS 535 form. That's something that Tamer has to provide to us. And with regards to the audit, once that final audit comes in, which I believe is due either today or tomorrow from Tamer, by the last date, the email that she last stated, I'd like to start writing the management report, which needs to go into the audit. I looked at the past couple of years' reports, and so they're all pretty standard, but I need those final numbers from Tamer as to what our over-expenditure of the 2019 budget was. So we have another correspondence from Primex.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you just say what our final over expenditure number was?
No, I don't know what it is until we get the final report.
Right, but maybe there wasn't one. The last time we got confirmation from Tamer was right before the annual meeting where there was no over expenditure.
Right.
So we shouldn't be saying on a record saying that what the over-expenditure number is. Why don't we wait until this finalized audit before we say whether there was an over-expenditure or an under-expenditure? This has already bit us in the butt multiple times and created confusion throughout the district. You know, we sat here in a public hearing and said, or budget hearing, and said, I knew in October that we had an over-expenditure. Then Tamer says we didn't. Then at the annual meeting, people are like, well, which is it?
We need to wait to get the final report from Tamer.
Yeah. Okay.
Not to report what the overexpenditure number is. We need to wait to figure out what the final report is before we say whether there was an overexpenditure or an underexpenditure. Frankly, we don't know. We've pretended to know since October about what would or wouldn't happen, and it's not acceptable.
She didn't say it.
All right. Okay, so that's Tamer. We had a Primex correspondence. We had to file a claim with Primex. They are our property liability insurance company, and that was with the accident back in January with our plow truck and another vehicle. So that's all been done, taken care of online. Again, there's another online form that Donna learned how to navigate, and that was all settled. We have a bill and a report from Granite State Analytical on our water quality. And Donna, do you want to talk to this one? Because this bill was actually...
Do you have enough cereal there? Because there's other cereal outside.
Oh, okay.
You can
share your cereal with all of us.
There's strawberries left in there, Dad, if you want.
Okay.
There's a few strawberries left in the fridge.
Yeah. Someone could mute their phone on the cereal and strawberries. You're making me hungry.
I went to pay the Granite State Analytical bill yesterday, and normally the bill's like $151. This bill here is for $2,566, and It just came in yesterday. But there was a huge sample done at Jungfrau for $850, and then the Muddy Beach pump station for $850. I have to go back and see if that's what we've done in the past, but I just I don't know who if that's something that Ian would know the answer, or why so much was done. Is that done every year? I'm questioning the bill, that's all.
So we're going to figure that out before we sign anything, just to see if it matches up with what was paid last year.
It just seems awful high.
But the number of tests that were done at each point, which is the Jungfrau and the Muddy Beach stations, there's like two pages of chemical testing. So this is a very extensive test as it compared to some of the other months, which is very minimal.
Yeah, and Ian may know off the top of his head that if that's an annual test that gets done that's more comprehensive than the monthly testing.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. So.
All right.
I don't know that, Donna. No, I don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that that would be Ian would know that.
But I'm stating,
next item on the agenda is Mike Smith asking for the $50 late fee. We just talked about that. Sharon Monroe is asking or recommending that we keep the Jennifer Eliza Memorial. And I know we had talked before about this, but at some point we need to have a public hearing on this. DES to inspect the dam, and usually they do that with an audience either from the Board of Commissioners or someone within the Village District, but because of the COVID-19, they're asking that it be done by themselves, and they'll just send us a report. Anybody have any objections not to being in social distance of the dam inspector? Okay, we'll just let that happen.
Okay with that.
Yeah, Louis Adorno, he sent some literature with the COVID-19 and has a conference call set up for water operators, so we're going to forward that to Ian. Michael Smith.
Hey, hold on. Going back to the dam, we had a conversation many, many months ago about the fact that there's a leak in the dam right now, and we talked about getting an estimate to either fix the dam or replace the dam, so at least we could use it into the long-term planning of the district. And the dam is from, I think it was 1966, so it's 54 years old right now. And if this thing ends up being $500,000 repair to replace, or not repair, but $500,000 to replace it, and the life expectancy of a dam is, say, 80 years, this needs to go as part of the long-term plan of the district. We're only allowed to borrow 1% of the total value of the land in the district on non-water-related systems. As such, that's about $925,000. Right now, we've got about $250,000 already used up. And when we sit here and start making plans for paving Idlewise Drive, and that's going to almost certainly be a bond at this point, and the more expensive truck, which is going to be in 2, 3, 4 years, that's going to be $250,000 bond. We're going to be perilously close to not being able to borrow money, and this needs to be part of the long-term plan.
Okay. And that would be asset management.
Well, we don't have asset management at this point because the public didn't allow it. So we can still go out and get a price for what would it cost to replace this dam or what's it going to cost to repair it so we can use it for planning. We don't need asset management money to do that.
Right, but it was never budgeted this year, Adam, to do that engineering plan for this replacement.
Well, maybe we can start making some phone calls and saying, hey, how does this work? I don't think anybody in this, on the board or in the office, has any knowledge about what it costs to replace a dam. I just think something's got to happen. So I just want it to be in the minutes. We've got people listening here. This is part of a long-term plan. And they need to know that we're only allowed to borrow 1%. Like, our own district treasurer didn't know about the 1% requirement. So we need to make sure that the public knows these things.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Donna has so noted in the minutes. And
right?
So
I mean, do we all agree when our own treasurer said that it wasn't 1%?
Yeah. We now know that 1% in non-water-related debt, drinking water-related debt.
Yeah. No, I knew there was a maximum amount that you could borrow against the value, just like any home residence.
Right, but our own treasurer didn't know what that percentage is, and it needs to be something that everybody knows, not just our treasurer. So that's why,
right.
Yeah, it's great to tone in the minutes, but it should also say 1%, and we're limited to about $925,000.
Right, but I guess the thing I'm actually asking for this year is that if we're going to have an engineer give us a number, that's going to cost money, and we just don't have that in this year's budget.
Right. Maybe we can have a ballpark number. Maybe we can get some rough idea. Somebody should be able to say within $250,000 how much it would cost.
Right.
I mean, somebody should have some idea about something.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. So we've got Mike Smith sent in some information on the Loon Preservation Society. We received that. David Mosley had sent in quite a bit of information on a financial summary.
Well, hold on. Why are we pushing off? Wait, Mike brought up the loons. So what are we doing about the pond levels? Right now, I emailed Chief Clark this morning and CC'd the board and you guys. Now would be the time. I emailed the board yesterday, I believe it was, saying I think we need to have a conversation. If the Loon Preservation Society is not going to be putting – they're not opening until May – that means we are not getting a floating nest, which means if we're going to do something for the loons, we have to make a decision basically in the next 7 to 8 days. Are we lowering the ponds 10 inches to get the same level as last year, or are we going to say the loons are out of luck this year, come back next year? Because if we're going to have a nest and like we did last year, we would have to start lowering it now.
Well, I'd rather wait to see the nest, and right now I did call Mike Smith because he actually can look out his window and see the two pods, and I said, can you see how far above the water is?
You might want to listen to this. It's about the loons.
Yeah, I said, how far above the water are the nests, and he said he couldn't tell because everything is still covered by ice. So I think right now it's too early to make any decision. Once we see where those pods are above the ice, above the water, once the ice melts, we can start to talk about that.
I don't think that's accurate, Jay, because we're limited by state requirement as to how much we're allowed to lower the level of the pond at any one time. So if we lower the ponds responsibly, which is in 2-inch increments, and we don't even get a chance to decide that until, say, May 1st, then we could potentially miss the window for the loons.
I don't think it's a priority this week. Let's wait till next week. Let's take a look and see if the ice is gone, and let's make a decision. You've also reached out to Chief Clark, so he'll have his information as well.
Well, I don't think he's going to have anything because I don't know that those people are working, especially the LPC, and that was part of the decision-making. So I'm just making sure that everybody's aware that if we lower the ponds in 2-inch increments and the loons start right around May 10th, that we're potentially cutting it really, really close if we don't do this sooner than later.
Yeah. Okay.
Was it 2 inches? I thought there was more that we could lower it at any one time.
I think we're allowed
to go. Significant.
I think the
wording was like significant. As long as it wasn't significant.
No. We can double check.
I thought it was closer to six.
Maybe, but at the very least, even if it is closer to six, we should still be doing it in smaller increments. It's still
okay.
Better to do it.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this next week when we actually can do a
visual?
Okay.
Donna can put on the agenda for next week.
Yeah. Okay, so David Mosley has sent in some information regarding our finances and how we're basically doing our bookkeeping, and he brought up some very good points. Does everybody have a chance to read that information from David?
No, actually, Donna sent me the message, but there was no attachment. And I thought I replied to her that I didn't get an attachment.
Yeah.
And I resent it to you, Kathy.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right, maybe because I'm traveling, maybe I didn't see it. But so I have not had a chance to review that.
Yeah. Okay. And what I have down here under agenda item number 4 is tabled items. These are items that we're not going to talk about today, but we did receive information over the week. Now, I'd like to open it up to the public.
Can I? I'm sorry.
And I'm going to have Kelly go first because he's right here.
I've been having so much
fun. Oh, he's still there. Okay.
I was kind of left out. I had a couple more things before.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got left off with the water situation, and I was looking for a decision on how to take care of the employees in this crisis. Throughout this whole COVID nightmare, Jay's been very vocal in supporting us and making sure we're okay. I haven't heard anything else, but now we actually have a water situation where we can't be sanitary. If the Department of Labor heard about this, we would be at home, which we don't typically do. But in this situation, in these days, you guys need to take care of us. So what do you want to do?
So
don't we have an emergency water
No.
downstairs in DPW1? There's like a big, huge tank.
No. What? No.
No.
We have an eyewash. I don't think we want to use the eyewash.
Yeah, I have a couple of potable water containers that I use for camping, and I can actually bring those in for hand washing at the sink. I can set them up on each sink, both downstairs and upstairs. I can also bring in, actually, there is a 5-gallon bucket here at the office, which has been used before for flushing the toilet when the water line did freeze up.
Sorry.
But I can bring 5 gallons of water here. Donna's waving her hands that she's not going to be flushing the toilet that way. But
and she's off Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Donna's off Fridays and Mondays.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be...
If the water line's going to be fixed Monday, then this isn't a relevant thing for Donna. It's going to be all set for her, isn't it?
Right, because she's off Fridays and Mondays.
Right, but I want...
I've been working Mondays because Kristen isn't here.
Yeah, so she is here Monday. And I just want to make sure that if she needs water at any point, that she has it. That's the whole point. We need to be able to provide these employees with water.
The water line's going in Monday. Doesn't mean it's be operational Monday.
We have
probably end of day Monday.
Yeah, we have to chlorinate the line, do a test on it. So I'll be bringing my containers down. I'll make sure that they're clean and sanitized and have them available for washing hands and flushing the toilet.
I'm sorry, but I'm not using it. I don't mean to be it, but my daughter is working on an ICU floor at Mass General, and I'm hearing ridiculous things coming out of people's mouths that it doesn't matter. I'm sorry, but this is just not normal. I appreciate you trying to bring something in, but I don't know where it came from. And that's why I'm going home, and I'm not going there.
Okay.
So why don't we shut the office down entirely until we have a water system back in place? That's a very reasonable thing. We can include it in the emergency response. Let's talk to Kelly about what he and Jeff want. And in the meantime, let's plain shut the office down until this is rectified. Because Donna's right.
I mean, this is
life-changing stuff. This is absolutely a reasonable request.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too. That was going to be my suggestion.
I'm not asking for Jeff and I, but Donna...
No, I don't mind things, and I'm pretty rugged, but I am not comfortable. I mean, the other day, people are still knocking at the door with a big sign in front of the door, the office is closed, but stupid... I shouldn't say stupid. I apologize for using that. But just for not priority situation.
Donna, we agree. No issue. Let's close the office effective today.
All right. I mean, if I can do anything, you know, from home, I will. I'll take the bills home and stuff. But, I'm willing to work with everybody, but this is important.
Okay,
no, and the fact that the water's out, that's a known timeline. I mean, it's not going to be more than a couple of days into next week.
Yep.
All
right. Okay. So we'll close the
I agree with...
Can we put an email blast up? I'll also have a notice. Donna makes the notice. I'll put them up on the bulletin board.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put on the website and the office quote. I'll do email blast and website update.
Okay.
Yep, I'll
all right,
do that
now,
this afternoon.
Anything else from
yeah,
I mean, Kelly.
I thank you guys.
So what about Jeff and Kelly?
Thank you.
I'm not trying to be a pain, but you know, I'm trying, like Shop Stewart here, I'm trying to take care of the people. So, back to the tight tank. They hit another snag.
Oh, yeah.
The concrete floor in this building, which was estimated to be 6 inches, turns out to be over 30 inches deep. They didn't have a saw.
30 inches of short knocks.
What happened was a second pad was poured over an original pad, which made two pads. They didn't have a saw big enough to cut through it. They rented it, the biggest saw made from Coleman's, to try to get through it. Still did not reach it. They are now downstairs with a second mini excavator with a jackhammer attachment.
Oh, my God.
As you would expect, there needs to be an add-on expense to this. Unfortunately, the warrant did not have any extra money put into it for such a reason. So we are stuck with a flat warrant that's going to be overexpended. That I leave to you guys. When that came at a 17 something, I immediately thought that should be a 20. It was too late for me to voice my opinion. So now you've got to take money from somewhere else somehow. We haven't got the added cost yet, but we've been told
there's
going to be an upcharge.
So I'm going to reach out to NHMA through an email copying everyone as well as the office to ask them if a warrant article goes beyond the expense appropriated by the voters, how do we handle that? How can the Board of Commissioners, the Board of Selectmen handle that?
This is no different than the email to Rick Skaranka. This should be done in an email that's approved by the Board of Commissioners to NHMA or the DRA asking for this.
I talked to, I believe, Ray, Jay, at that meeting we went to, the budget meeting, that if it gets approved by the voters, that through the warrant article, and the warrant article is overexpended, it can come from the general funds.
Right.
From the operating budget.
Yeah, I just want to get that in writing so that if anybody asks us, we have that back.
Oh, well, that's fact. I mean, Kathy's right.
Okay.
That's not even a question. If you want to spend more than the warrant, you simply have to take it out of the operating budget. There's no reason to go to them on that. We already know it. I thought you were going to say... I thought you were going to say to take money from the unassigned fund balance or something. But
No.
Budget.
Yeah, we got money in building
the
ground.
Okay. Kelly.
All right, so they're continuing work. We can't stop them, so we don't even know what the added cost will be. We'll just let you know.
It's crazy.
The second thing I've seen on correspondence that might have something to do with me is the Rhinac tank overflow. I guess I haven't been part of it, but there was a discussion with Ian on how to rectify this temporarily, and it involved me. I don't know the specifics on it, so I don't know how involved I am with this.
Adam, you want to talk to that?
I sent the pictures into the office, and I sent them in yesterday.
Yeah.
When I went up to the building to meet with the guy, the archaeological survey guy, which was done, and he's going to have the report today. I emailed you guys about that. I got a call later in the day from Ian, or I called Ian, I can't remember. When we spoke, he said that this could be done for about $250, where they could change the grading of it. He said it was done wrong originally. They advised whoever was commissioners not to do it because it wasn't going to work. But now it's realistically, like, all we're doing right now is pumping water out of the pump house that goes up to the ground that goes back into the pump house. So we're like literally like it's just absurd. It's not going to be relevant from the Rhinoc tank, the new tank being done. But I think in the meantime, we should spend the $250, get this thing properly done, so that we don't risk any sort of damage to our pump house for the next 6 months.
So when you say $250, is it right? But is it Kelly just going, not just, but Kelly going up there and creating a path for the water to run down the hill?
I think it's putting in a new culvert. The culvert up there is completely broken. You can see it in the pictures that I sent. Literally, the mm-hmm. culvert doesn't work. It's broken, and the water just flows right out of it because there's no grade. I don't know what the requirement is here. I know when Kelly could probably speak about it. I know that when I did a project like this in Massachusetts I was involved in, I think it was like 1 inch per 4 feet or something like that. But whatever it is, the grade is it just doesn't exist. So Kelly would be going up there with the backhoe, digging it out, putting something new in there, and the water would drain.
Let me talk about it, Kathy, for a minute. This might answer your question. The pipe is not working. The pipe was laid in over ledge. From what we understand, the pipe must flow upward over the ledge before it gets to the exit, which means it's not enough. It's not carrying enough water. The pipe is damaged, but the damage at the inlet of the pipe has nothing to do with it not passing water. The exit to the pipe isn't showing it, very little water coming out of it. The thought is to take that pipe out and put another pipe in, which doesn't make sense to me because pipe is expensive. I don't know what Ian's thought is. I don't know if he's thinking of redirecting the sump pump water a different direction and not utilizing a drain at all. I don't know because this is the first I'm hearing of it. So if it's putting a new pipe in the ground, that's not because we're redoing that whole area. It'd be a wasted pipe. So I guess I don't, $250 for Ian to, I don't know what his job in it is, but I'd like to save the $250 and put, we have some old water line pipe that's not usable. It's sitting up in the summit building. Maybe we can reuse that somehow to replace that pipe to get the water moving again to temporarily fix this. That's a thought I have, just thinking real quickly. I can't see putting money into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had talked to Kelly about this last week as well, and we were even, so the sump pump that's in that building probably has a one inch pipe coming out of it. We could even use a one inch coiled pipe, or as Kelly had mentioned, we have some blue brute pipe sections at the top of the cabana, which are unusable because they've been baking in the sun for about 40 years. If he can just lay them on the ground and have the exit of that water from the sump pump go into that pipe and have it pitched properly, we can just take the water down alongside the road as opposed to crossing the road where the construction mm-hmm. vehicles will eventually snag. So he had described it to me, and it sounded like it was easy work. I mean, it's not easy, but we just got to find out how high up out of the building that sump pump exit pipe comes so that Kelly can connect the blue roof to it and take that water away from that area.
Well, I would certainly defer to Kelly's best judgment on how to mitigate that problem and do it in a way that's considered temporary.
Yeah, I can't.
Not a permanent fix.
Right, I can't see putting another culvert pipe, or actually probably three sections of culvert pipe, back in place to replace that, which is there. The end of that culvert
yeah.
pipe is actually blocked by that logging operation that took place up there. There's just water that's just sort of seeping out of it, but it's obviously not flowing out of it.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'll leave it.
Let me do a test dig up there and see
yeah.
if there's ledge or if there's some way of diverting the water.
To log out of the house.
I'm going to spend the money on it. Let me see what I can do.
Okay.
Yeah, let Kelly take an investigation.
Right, yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we all are in agreement
Why don't we just allocate the money so if while he's digging it up there and it's already there, he can do it if he thinks it's necessary. And if he says not to, then he doesn't, and then we can have this discussion next week. But at least he'd be eligible to do it if he wants.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the authority to purchase $200 worth of stuff regardless.
No, I think he has the ability to spend up to $1,000 worth of stuff.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So Kelly could theoretically do this without even asking us.
Yes.
Right. But
yes.
Who's $250
yep.
for? Is that to Ian?
I believe it's for Ian, but I'm not sure. He might have been calculating in culverts. I thought Ian told me it was like 2 hours, maybe 3 hours.
Yeah.
So that would only be like $200.
Okay.
We never talked about it, so I don't know what the plan was.
All right, I'll make a motion to appropriate up to $250 for Ian to work with Kelly on creating mediation for the water.
I'll second it.
Yeah, okay. If Ian, I mean, Ian may not even be necessary.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what
okay,
I'm hoping.
All right. Okay, all right.
Okay, I vote yes.
I'll vote yes.
I vote yes.
Seconded it.
I did, yes. I seconded it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adam. Okay, now.
Now, one last thing.
One last
really,
thing.
Then we can go.
Okay.
Hearing this thing with the computer systems and having an outside individual that has access to the village computer, I'd like to know if that has any way of affecting us, my employees and myself, with our bank accounts, all our pay goes direct deposit. Is all that safe and do we know it's safe? Otherwise, I want to start getting a paper check. Anyone?
So, Kelly,
yeah.
Are you talking about the... doing the water bill online?
No, I'm talking about an outside person having access to the town computer.
And the phone system.
And the phone system. And everything else has been kind of crazy around here that we're hearing things that, who knows? I just want to
Well, I think, in all seriousness, Kelly, I believe that that's always been the case. I believe that we had a former commissioner who had access to the computer remotely long, long ago, I think. I could be wrong on this, but yes, it's not a commissioner, but I believe there was, I don't know the magnitude of who knew what when. I mean, I know that the DPW buildings, for example, the passwords were never changed on the outside of the doors. So back when I first got elected and I couldn't get...
I'm worried today for the decisions made today to protect us. Is there access by an outside person? He's got emails from years ago. It's all in there, so I know it's public information, most of it, but how do we know how far this breach goes?
Yeah, so if the individual has email access to the office email address, then that person actually can look at attorney-client privileged emails. That's a problem.
Well, it would still be against the law, right? I mean, if something like that happened, it would be a violation of the law. So
yeah,
let's all take a deep breath.
Yeah, but it was allowed to happen.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about Kelly's immediate concern, which is a valid one. I'm not minimizing it. I'm just reminding everybody that for anything to be done would be a clear violation of the law. So let's just take a deep breath.
But I think Adam and Jay, that having Donna change her office password would certainly put somewhat of a firewall between anybody in the district who's had access to the computers, whether it's Rhonda, whether it was the woman from Libby Computer when we were having issues getting online, that changing the password would not be it would be a wise thing to do. Now, Kelly,
yeah.
I think the other personal information would be payroll information because, you know, that information is in QuickBooks. QuickBooks is not online, so it's not in the cloud and it's not able to be accessed remotely. So that is somewhat secure.
How do we know what other computers have been looked at or changed? And I'm not to bring up more subjects. One day I come in and, you know, it seems like this office has been used after hours. It seems like lights have been left on, doors have been left open. There's a lot of conspiracy going on here that makes me very uncomfortable. And I know Jeff will feel the same way, but I think we're both will opt to take paper checks.
Well, Kelly, that's kind of what I was getting to a minute ago, in that when I first got elected and Nancy hadn't changed the passwords to the DPW door and I couldn't get in, and I forgot what I was trying to do. I think it was I forgot what the goal was, but I think I ended up calling Gloria, being like, hey, Gloria, what's the password to get in the building? And she told me, like, it's a problem. Like, this is a long-standing problem of security in the buildings. I believe, I could be wrong on this one, but I believe Jay and Kathy are using my password to get into the building, too. Kathy, is that right? Jay, is that right?
That is correct. My password never got entered into the keypad.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a real security issue. I think you're bringing up a fair point. I'm actually more concerned about that than anything. We have an unknown number of people who could access our buildings at any time. And I believe last year we
we were going to make a motion. I may have made the motion to change all the passwords, and Nancy said, no, I can do it myself, and then she just never did it. So maybe we need to go back to hiring a locksmith for $300 to go to all the doors and all the everything and change all the passcodes.
I think if you remember, when Nancy left, we found it very difficult to find passwords because Nancy was very careful with all that information. We couldn't find anything we needed because she was that careful, and I trusted how she handled things. And as far as the locks, it's been a year. You know, we need to fix this. You keep saying we're going to fix it, but...
Yeah, no, it absolutely fell off my radar, and it shouldn't have. So, I mean, I'll make a motion to spend up to $300 for the locksmith to change all the passcodes on all the exterior doors. Should be done.
Well, I think, Adam, I think in the office there's a stack of paperwork for those new digital locks, and as long as someone has a password, once they open the door, they can then go in and clear and reset all the passwords. So if you can trust one commissioner to do that, it is doable in-house.
All right,
now, if you'd rather hire somebody outside and spend the $300, I mean...
I can help.
The only commissioner would be Jay.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'd rather not. Because to be honest with you, prior to the annual meeting, I was getting ready to send you an email asking you to change the locks because I didn't think I'd be sitting in the seat today, and I didn't want to be held accountable for anybody that might have breached this building having known what the previous code was. But we do have the information on all the locks, Kathy. You're right. We do have the paperwork. So
I think it's the same procedure. I think once somebody opens a lock with their password, then you do a series of, you know, hold down the 2 and the 4 for 10 seconds, and then you get into the program mode. So there is a way to do that without spending
money.
Why don't we let Jay
do what he's got to do? And
Donna, do you remember seeing those? It was like a little pamphlet, you know, like
right
the size of an index card. Okay, you do. Okay.
She's got them. Okay.
I'm more concerned with
okay.
Yeah.
Computer breach and everything going on there. You guys should take that a little more serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I agree with if Donna changes. Yeah, I think Donna changing the password would then secure the office email, and that would be any like Jay said, legal documents or anything that was non-public.
Yeah.
Okay. They're already out there.
All right. I want to, Kelly, you all set?
Yes.
Well, thank you. I want to open up to the public, and I apologize for taking so long, but I want to open up to the public. Now, anything under the administration section of this agenda, if you have any comments or concerns, please state your name and go ahead and ask questions. And
hey, before we do that, I already wrote the email that we said I should draft to Rick Skaranka. I want to read it because we need to get this thing out today since we're going to do the project today. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, Rick. The Village District of Idlewise has upgraded portions of the water system in and around the DPW building. The estimated cost is $3,000 to $5,000. Doing this job will eliminate one bleeder. The Board of Commissioners believes the district may be eligible to use grant money to help offset this expense. Can you please shed some light on this for us? Thank you so much. Hope you're staying safe in these difficult times.
Oh,
great. Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect.
Can we have Donna send that out?
Yeah. I'll make a motion to have Donna. Well, we don't need a motion.
Okay.
We'll send that out. Thank you, Adam. Okay.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Any questions from the commissioners to Kelly before he leaves?
Yeah, I sent in an email yesterday about Little Loop looking for a timeline on this thing. I'm not at all blaming Kelly at all for the delays last year or this year, so please make sure we understand that. I just want to, you know, we had equipment failure last year. It ended up becoming the very last project at the end of the year where it wasn't going to get done. You know, my driveway's getting destroyed again. I mean, the system, what he did last year is definitely working. It's like 90% better. But I'd like to get this thing done sooner than later.
I saw the email. I drove by your driveway this morning. I don't know if destroy's the word, but there's nothing really for us to fix there. As far as the email, I gave my concerns last time about being too early. We still got frost in the ground. Instead of digging ground, we're going to be digging chunks. It's just, let's put it this way. If you're a homeowner asking me to do this project, I'd say we need to wait. But you're a commissioner asking me to do this project, and I feel compelled to do it, which I don't.
No. I'm not participating in.
I got an email that's saying you're disappointed that it's not done. So I kind of feel compelled to do it, and I don't think we want to do that.
No. Let me clarify. I'm disappointed it wasn't done last year as a homeowner. I'm speaking simply as a homeowner. Public comment came up now, so I want to sit here and just say I want to make sure that when last year it got delayed and delayed and delayed, that it doesn't get delayed and delayed again. I'm not blaming you at all. This is simply a matter of making sure that this gets on the books. I'm not asking for any preferential treatment. I'm not asking for anything other than a homeowner who's been waiting 4 years. Yeah, the driveway's not terrible. I did rake it out yesterday a little bit, but there's a huge rut across the road.
Get other people's driveways in the village. What a jackass.
So when the water's draining down the road, this was why we had the Warren's article. We have a rut in the road. Like, I just want to make sure this happens sooner than later.
I was concerned because the email was sent as a commissioner. It was sent as Commissioner Lizer, so.
Fair. I apologize.
It just makes me feel like I better get my ass out there because the boss is watching, and I don't think you want to convey that to people.
No, I shouldn't have sent it as that email. That's a fair point. So talking as
Adam,
a private resident.
Right. But, Adam, I think Kathy and I, we certainly have it on our radar. Weather and other circumstances last year prevented that from getting completed. Don't worry. It's going to get done this year. As a matter of fact, I'm in a similar situation, but my approach is a little different. As you know, you and Kathy, when you were both commissioners and I was not, you approved putting an extension on my culvert to prevent myself and others from dropping into the ditch at the edge of my driveway. That's been 12 years in the waiting, and I instructed Kelly that I'd rather not have him do that work until he has completed every other project in the district. I'm a commissioner. I am last.
Yeah, but your project wasn't a warrant article. So this
right.
one is a warrant article. It's been a warrant article for years. It's been four years. So that's all.
Understood.
But yes.
Yeah.
If you guys want to vote to get me out there, I'll go out there tomorrow.
No.
I don't want preferential treatment. That's not what I'm saying. So let Kathy and Jay decide it. I'm simply bringing up. They can have the conversation.
Yeah, and
no.
I think Kelly is the best choice of deciding when that happens.
And I think last week or the week before, he said, he goes, I would feel comfortable doing it toward the end of April. And you don't want to, you know, we're dealing with culverts that were installed incorrectly or prematurely and incorrect size and pitch. So we don't want to now start installing them incorrectly, and I would defer to Kelly. So as long as it's one of the early projects, as soon as the frost is out of the ground in that area.
Yep, I agree. Okay.
Thank you.
The email asks for a start date and an end date, which I can't give, so I just don't want to get in trouble for that.
Okay.
It'll get done. Okay. I want to open up to the public. Is everybody else here?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to open up to the public, and I apologize, but I want to give you a chance to speak. Do we have anybody that has any comments on the administration issues that we just talked about?
Dorothy Wendelowski.
Hi, Dorothy. Go ahead.
I just want to address the water bill issue again in terms of the late fee. I just want to make two points for you guys to consider. First of all, there was a comment made by someone that this then will become a problem year after year after year. But I would like to submit that what we're in right now is extraordinary, and it would not be, and you could put in due to the current coronavirus issue, which would then say, okay, it's for this year. The other point on the water bill is this. Somebody mentioned people work at home, but unfortunately, a lot of our people who work in the valley are day people. They would make minimum wage. They're in retail. They're in the restaurants. They're not bringing their work home. We have a lot of people who can't continue their jobs online. So it's not the same for everybody in this district in terms of the economic hardship they're facing. So those are my two comments.
Thank you very much, Dorothy. And we're going to talk about putting that comment of this is a due to the COVID-19 pandemic into our second water bill. That's a great point. Thank you very much. Anybody else from the public that would like to comment on any of the items that were discussed in administration?
Can I respond to what Dorothy just said?
Sure, Adam. Go ahead.
I think Dorothy's got a fair point. I want to just make sure that everyone's aware. This is exactly why I have been opposed to long-term bonds for as long as I've been around here. We've created a situation here with debt that we cannot avoid. We're creating a situation where there's going to be 20% of our overall operating budget is appointed to long-term debt, whereas we have more debt than our neighboring communities, Tamworth, Conway, and Madison combined. We've got another $100 getting added to everyone's water bill next year because of upgrades done 2 years ago. This is the problem with debt.
Okay. Thank you, Adam. Anybody else in the public?
Dorothy Wondolowski, to that point. I know comparisons have been made to Tamworth and Madison and so forth, and I thought it was going to come up at the annual meeting, so I went to the town halls and spoke with the treasurers and so forth. I think that comparing Madison Tamworth to Idlewise is a specious argument, and now's not the time. But I think to try to make those comparisons, there are a number of fallacies in that thinking. So I would caution people to make comparisons and not focus on the uniqueness of this particular development.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy. Anybody else in the public have any comments?
Yeah. Yeah, this is Paula Doyle.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Jay. Yeah, the only thing I would just add, again, to this comment is to support what Dorothy said and the idea that, this is a service economy. We live in a community that is, I don't know the percentage, but we're going to be devastated by this, especially right now. A lot of people are out of work. And all I can say is about this, I don't agree with Adam about this issue, about the issue with long-term debt. All I can say is thank God we kept the tax rate lower this year and defeated a lot of the things that came up. You guys wanted to raise taxes by almost 40% if we had passed all of your recommended budget articles and warrant articles. And there's going to be people who are not going to be able to pay their taxes this year. It's a fact. In the next 12 months, the economy here is going to take time to recover. And, people are financially really going to be hurting this year. So you guys need to be as tight as you can with this budget and even start thinking as you go into next year and start planning how you're going to keep taxes down, because, it's going to take time. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much,
hey,
Paula.
Paula, thank you. My wife's been out of work for 3 weeks, and I feel it, believe me.
Yeah, that was Kelly saying that his wife, who's in the service industry, has been out of work for 3 weeks now, and they are aware of it and they feel it. Thank you. Anybody else in the public that would like to share a comment? Okay, great. Hearing
I don't
none.
Know. Can I bring up a totally new subject, or do you want comments only on what's been discussed so far?
What would your new topic be, Dorothy?
Well, I didn't know. I just want to present this idea. I have no idea how to organize it. I think there might be people, I don't know, in the district who could be helped by having someone do their grocery shopping for them. And there might be some of us who might be willing to do that. So I'm just putting it out there. I don't have anything concrete to offer in terms of a plan, but, you hear on TV people shopping for other people for a variety of reasons, age, handicapped, whatever. And I don't know if people like that exist in our development, but we're a small community, and if they do exist, maybe something could be set up to match a volunteer with some a recipient. So it's just an idea.
Yeah, I believe the Madison Church actually provides a service like that. I'm not positive, but I believe they do. And there are other agencies throughout the valley and volunteers. Maybe some of your own neighbors would do that for other individuals. But no, that's a great point, and it is becoming visible. I've seen drop-offs done, and I've actually done some myself. So that's a great point.
Jay?
Yeah. Yes.
Jay, could you get me the information on that? If in fact that the Madison Church is doing it and what their contact information is, I will put something out in that same office email. If anybody needs assistance.
Yeah, I think everybody knows the Madison Church has a food pantry.
Shouldn't this be more of an EPOA thing than a governmental thing? I'm not saying it's.
Yeah, they're not meeting probably till the end of May, if at all.
I understand all that. I'm just wondering if we're overstepping our bounds here in terms
No, I think, Adam, all I'm going to, just like we put in our newsletter that dog licensing was due on a certain date, and just it's a community bulletin, and I think, not that we're trying to match people up, we're not going to get in the middle of it, but just to let them know that the Madison Church does have the ability to assist people that are in need for, out of the home services. So that's all we're going to do. We're not going to get in the middle of trying to match people up with people that are looking for help.
Yeah, it's very much like the Valley Pride cleanup, which happens the first Saturday of every May. That has been canceled or postponed this year. But I will be getting bags, and if anybody wants to do it on their own at their own time, that I'll make that available. And again, our website might be a resource to help distribute those bags, which will be in a location where nobody touches anybody or comes near anybody. But no, good point.
All right, so Jay, you will get me that information?
Yep.
Okay, please do that. Okay, thank you.
Anybody else in the public have any comments on Section 3?
Jay, this is Paula again. I had one more comment I wanted to make about Edmund. Loon stuff. Just because the Loon Preservation Committee has closed their center, the people who work there, I'm sure, are working at home and keeping up with correspondence and still making plans for the summer. So I don't know that's my guess. I could be wrong, but I wouldn't assume that everything's just going to shut down for the loons and there's going to be no floating nests or no work this summer on the loons. I'm sure they're still probably going ahead and planning what they do every summer. So and I think if you want to know that, you could confirm that with an email to John Cooley. So, I don't know what they decided for our ponds, if they did decide they were going to do a nest or not, or if they got back in touch with you guys. But just a comment that I would assume that everything just shuts down because the center is closed.
Yeah, great point, Paula. Actually, Mike Smith in passing shared with me that the Loon Preservation Committee actually reached out to him about putting the camera up this year. And he agreed to doing it again. So they are active, and you're right, maybe they will have a floating nest available. Maybe the building's not open, but I'm sure the function is still going on. So we can do that. We can actually call John Cooley and find
John
out
Cooley.
If we can get a floating nest. Great point. Thank you. Okay, anybody else in the public?
Is that email going to go out today?
I have one more.
Try to have it go out today because Donna's not going to be working. We'll try to put it out before she leaves today because we close the office. Okay. So if I can move on
I
to
have
accounts
one
payable.
One more question about the kayak racks.
Yep.
So the registration is going to go through Andrew, and then how are the slots going to be assigned?
You're going to pick your own slots, I believe, if the ones that are available.
Okay. All right. So it's a first-come, first-served basis.
Yep, starting on
April. Is this Dorothy?
Yes.
So the easiest way to do this is if you log into that portal, that the link was both on our website and in the newsletter.
Yes.
You put in a username, a password, and then an email gets sent to your email just to confirm that you are who you say you are. Click on that, it activates your account, and then what you'll do is, under search property, you find your address, and you say, this is my property, and you link it to your account, and for every property you own, you can then select the kayak rack space after April 15th. So if you get the initial part done now, when April 15th comes along, your account will already be ready. It'll know your property or two or three, however many you happen to own, so you can select your space on the first day.
Oh, so you can get all this other preliminary stuff in logged in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So create your account, confirm your account, go back into it, locate your properties, and it uses the tax record from Madison. So it'll link your name to your property by just typing in your number or your last name. And it's pretty slick. Jay's done it. I've done it. I think Donna's done it. So we all have experience doing it. And it's pretty slick. So it's going to work out really well. Take a huge burden off the office.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Kathy? Thank you, Dorothy. Okay.
This is Paula. I would just make a comment, and I was talking to one other person. It doesn't exactly work the way it is in the directions. You have to. It says right now that if you go to property search, you find your property, and then you say select your property. You actually have to go back and click on link your property, which it doesn't really explain very well in the directions. And I know two people that figured it out on their own, including me, but it's not
okay.
as clear as the directions make it out to be. Because I found my property, and then I tried to click on my property, and nothing happened. So then I finally went, wait, how do I connect my property? And then I saw that there was a drop-down menu, and you had to choose link your property. So that's not very clear in the directions. I just want you to know that.
Because I went back to do mine again to see what the steps were, but once I did it, I couldn't do it again. So I tried to do it several times,
and I was following the directions step by step, and it didn't work the way the directions specified.
Okay.
So
you might
want to clarify those directions a little bit.
There's nothing in there that says when canoe and kayaks are going to be able to go up on the racks, correct? Because we don't know from the EPOA, and we haven't done repairs, and we haven't heard from Garland, right?
I put a message at the bottom of the newsletter and on the website that we're doing repairs to make them safer, to accommodate kayaks. Please do not put your boats on the racks until we send a message from the office saying they're ready for you.
Okay, because I think one of the conversations that we're going to have as a board.
That was very clear at the bottom.
Well, a month from now, we're going to have a conversation as a board about potentially closing the beaches and potentially not using canoe and kayak rack spaces at all this year. So there's a very real possibility that is going to happen.
I know. You're talking about the outhouses, so.
No, I'm talking about the canoe and kayak racks.
Because of COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't be opening beaches. They're closing beaches all across the state and in neighboring states.
Yep.
So it's going to make it even more crowded for the few that are open. Like, I don't know that makes sense. So we have to have this conversation in a month.
Yes, we do. Definitely put that on the agenda.
I just want to make sure that we don't end up in a situation where people select their canoe and kayak rack, then they put their boat on there even though we said not to because they're like, it's my space. And next thing you know, we're trying to figure out how to re-deliver 30 kayaks. Maybe what we should do is not open the portal at all until we've decided that the canoe and kayak racks are going to even be open this year. I mean, it's not ideal, but which is an option,
because right now they cannot do anything with the kayak space until April 15th. So we still have 2 weeks. So you're right. Maybe we should address that at next meeting.
Guys, I just want you to be aware that I was unaware of this, but we just figured this out from last week and now. This meeting is a two-hour limit. I just rejoined the conference call, so just to be aware of that. That's all.
So we just missed probably 60 seconds of your conversation. We got cut off because we had a time limit, which we just discovered, which happened last week as well at the two-hour mark exactly.
Yeah.
So what
I was saying was that we should be talking about potentially not opening the beaches or canoe and kayak racks at all, and we might want to, I mean, we really should have an answer next week if we're not going to have the portal open on the 15th, because we can't tell people on the 15th that it's not opening on the 15th. So this needs to be a possibility, and everyone should be aware that our beaches may very well be closed, the canoe and kayak racks may not be open at all this year, and that could be the end of it.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. But you're right. Beaches across the nation where people were congregating, they've been closed. I'm hearing different models talking about things may come back to normal in the middle of July. So
maybe
we have a lot to talk about. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about with regards to porta potties, beach openings, etc.
Well,
and
maybe we need to change the canoe and kayak racks already and just report now that we've already delayed the portal opening until June 15th. That way it gives us some time to make a final decision.
It's cold anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but... all right, can we put that on next week's agenda? Let's think about it, because, there's a lot of good concerns there. All right. Hey, can we move on to accounts payable? I don't want to have to expire.
Okay, Jay.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Jay, I'm about reaching my expiration date here, so on the phone. So is there anything that you would need all three of us to be on the phone for? I mean, the accounts payable, you and Adam can do that. Payroll, you can do that.
I can't stay long either. I have an 11:15 call. I was told this was a two-hour meeting, so I have a stuff coming in 12 minutes.
Okay. So what would...
We got manifest. Kathy, we have a manifest for six checks, $12,489.63.
Okay. Okay, read them off real quick.
All right. Donna, please.
Okay. We have the Nerve Gas bill for $359.55.
Okay.
We have the G.W. Brooks tank installation for $9,000. We have the Health Trust April bill for $2,628.87.
Okay.
We have Matheson Tri-Gas for $22.79. We have the Sanel Auto Part bill for $393.43, and we have the Spectrum for $84.99.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
So you're making a motion to approve the manifest?
Jay? Yes, I'll make a motion to approve. Wait a minute. Did that include the Granite State?
No.
Oh,
we didn't say the Granite State.
Good. I'll make a motion to approve the manifest for $12,489.63. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. We have a letter that also requires your attention, Kathy and Adam. This is to the resident at number 49 Idlewise Drive. This is the letter that will be sent by certified mail. I'll read it to you. Dear homeowner, the Board of Commissioners would like to speak with you regarding your property at 49 Idlewise Drive. The DPW will be doing work to alleviate drainage issues on Idlewise Drive, which will impact your property. They would like to discuss plans to resolve the drainage issues. Please contact the office to set up a time to speak with the Board of Commissioners. Sincerely, Board of Commissioners Adam, Kathy, and Jay. Do I have a motion
So 47, that's the lower driveway.
No, 49. He said 49. 49. He's talking the upper
49.
One.
49.
Is that the upper? Okay, 40. I thought you said 47. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 47 we're communicating with. It's 49 that's not communicating
I thought the letter was going to be a little stronger.
Well, sending certified mail and telling them to call us, we are going to do work in the area. It will impact your driveway. I don't think they have a choice. If they ignore us, then we just go ahead and do what we need to do.
Well, why don't we give them a date? Say we need to hear from you in the next 14 days or by April 15th. If we don't give them a date, then we got a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put April the
15th.
Mail of notice, I think we have to give 30 days by law.
Either way.
So I'll say 30 days from now, which is, and Donna's looking at the calendar.
May 1st.
It is. May 1st it is. Got it. So we'll add that date.
Okay.
And all in favor of that letter as amended, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes. Can we get the picture for? You can put me down a second. Can you send an email with the picture of this drawing? Because I've never seen it, and I don't think Kathy would have either, because she's in Florida. So the drawing that Kelly came up with, like we should be seeing these things, and I really don't understand why we're not getting the notifications that we should as commissioners.
Yeah, we'll send it. We'll send it. Kellyville.
Okay, so who made the motion and who seconded
it? I made the motion. Okay. Adam seconded.
Okay.
And 3-0.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Those were signature items. Again, I open up to the public. Any concerns or questions about those things that we just signed off on? Okay, hearing nothing. Thank you. Commissioner's reports. I'll go last. Adam, Kathy, Kathy and Adam both had garage doors. You want to talk about garage doors?
Well, I think I felt strongly about getting the garage doors replaced and fixed according to the quote that Kelly got right before the annual meeting. It was around $6,000. They are unsafe. They are old. They are rusted. They're not closing completely. Two of them, we've had cables snapping on them. They're crooked in the racks. So I think we should do it, but now I'm a little concerned if we're going to have a, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 additional expense in getting that concrete floor squared away, that I am inclined to wait until next week.
Yep. Okay, and
it's going to have to come out of buildings and grounds if there's whatever extra cost there is from Brooks.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. Kathy, I'd like to get the doors done this year, and this is one of those items that really isn't budgeted for, so what I'd like to do is we'll wait till the end of the year, around October, November time frame, take a look at how much money we have.
No, I don't agree with that. It's a safety issue, for one thing. Department of Labor wanted motion sensors on the doors, so that was a part of her report. I think once we figure out what the total cost of the tight tank is going to be, then figure out how we're going to pay for the doors. I think it should be much, much sooner rather than later. So we can't do anything this week, but let's wait and see what the excavation costs for that concrete floor, and then So I don't know if we're going to be, you know, expending our entire building and grounds budget or not.
Right.
And if we are, we just have to find someplace else to take it from. So that's all. That's all.
Yeah.
So I think it's a priority, but not until the floor gets done.
Right.
I don't know how Adam feels about that, if he feels the same way.
No, this is absolutely an imperative thing. A truck's going to get damaged. A person's going to get hurt. I mean, this is absolutely unacceptable. It just is. These things got to get done. We keep pushing the can, kicking the can down and saying, well, we'll deal with it when we have this. We'll deal with it then. And, I mean, at some point, like, we got a 28-year-old furnace that's cracked. We got garage doors that don't close. Like, it's absurd.
It is absurd. I agree with you. But right now, I would feel more comfortable going ahead with it since we didn't really appropriate funds for it, even though we knew we needed to get it done. We didn't get the vote to support that. So, I think the tight tank thing has to get completed, and then I would be very comfortable next week saying go ahead and have Kelly contact the overhead door guy.
Okay.
So I just want to wait 1 week.
Yeah, I forewarn this type of non-budgeted items and expenditures for non-budgeted items goes back to Paula's comment that we have a very, very tight budget this year, and if it wasn't planned for, shouldn't be doing it until you know at the end of the year if you've got enough money that you've been able to save, then you can make those decisions. But this was an unbudgeted item. It's just as unsafe today as it was 2 years ago. So
I'd rather see this get done and we don't put gravel down on a road, or we don't put new asphalt on something. This is going to be a catastrophe if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think that the door issue, for numerous reasons, really needs to be a priority, not a wait till the end of the year and see if maybe we have enough money.
Right. Okay, thank you. But I wasn't aware that the boiler was cracked.
There was a gasket that was cracked that he repaired. I don't know the total number of how much is in there, but the conversation that I had with the guy who gave us the estimate, which I believe was reported to you guys, was a 30-second conversation. And he simply said, these things, if you get 30 years out of them, you're lucky, and we're at year 28 right now. Like,
yeah,
that's
so get 2 more years.
No.
Yes.
If you get 30 years, you're lucky, and if the thing fails, we're completely out of luck. And if the thing fails in November, we're cooked. What are you going to do in November when there's no money and it's $9,000?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the gasket can be replaced. We know that.
Yeah. So that's already been done.
Okay. All right.
So
anyway,
yeah. that's my comments on the garage doors. I think it's a health and safety issue, first and foremost, and we need to do it this year. We just have to figure out some way to make that happen. Okay? All right. Anything else, Jay?
No, I think that's it.
I put in this email. Did we get a report from Kelly about how much it's going to cost to dismantle the outhouses and have a recommendation from him?
We didn't get
it. I don't remember seeing anything.
If we're doing it, it's going to cost you a dumpster.
Okay, the concrete underneath does not have to be broken down. It can be left in place. We simply need to fill it with something so that it doesn't cave 50 years from now. That's the only requirement from DES. We have that in writing. So if we can do this thing for $500, then we should be talking about doing this thing for $500. Those things get disassembled. That is a good thing, and we're going to save some Parks and Rec money because we don't have Gina cleaning those things.
But you're not looking at the big picture. Those have to be filled by shovel. We can't dump material in a small hole. We'll have to shovel it in. So not that we can't do that because we shoveled crap before, but we can do that. I think according to DES, the tank has to be covered and mounted and seated. It can't be just a tank.
We could put stone in it. We could simply put gravel in it and fill it. As long as it's filled so that it won't cave is all they care about.
The exterior, I believe, has to be mounded. It has to be covered and mounded in a way that if it did break, it's not going. It has to be held together. So in talking with, I think it was DES years ago, it has to be mounted and then seed put over the top to protect the upper, which if we do that at the Boulder Beach, we're mounting that out towards the water. All considerations that haven't been taken, we don't know this yet. And if you're going to put porta-potties on Boulder Beach, I believe you have to be 75 feet from water, which would put the porta-potties across the street at the playground. Again, nobody knows this.
Yeah, I don't think that it has to be mounded or seated. I think all we have to do, because we talked about putting gravel on top and putting the outhouses right there, but that is worth a follow-up to DES saying, and I emailed you guys, the whole board, 6 months ago, the distances from the outhouses to the lake. So we should send that over to DES saying, these are the distances. Can we put a porta-potty exactly where the outhouse was? That is a very good point, Kelly. Thank you for bringing it up, and we should find that out.
Yeah, but in relevance to what's going on with COVID-19, every public bathroom in the country right now, I believe, is closed. So why are we talking about doing this?
I'm just trying to get an idea of what it would cost, because the board should have an idea of what it's going to cost if we're going to do it. If we decide to open up the beaches this year, we're either going to open up the outhouses, in which case we got to pay a cleaner, we're going to remove them and do nothing, or we're going to remove them and put a porta-potty. We should know now what we're going to do if the beaches get opened. We can't just say, oh, we'll deal with it in July, and then in July we say, oh, well, shoot, it would have been nice if we closed the outhouses.
Yeah,
I mean, it certainly wouldn't hurt to know. It wouldn't hurt to know how far from the water an outhouse has to be. Because it's self-contained, maybe that 75 feet doesn't apply. We don't know that.
I think because we're starting something new, Kathy, just like with the water line, we're exempt from the previous tank.
Right, so it's not grandfathered. We'd have to, the new porta potties would have to be placed. I believe Kelly's right, 75 feet, because I've actually seen that in the document.
Well, let's find out. Let's draft an email saying these are the distances of our current outhouses. Can we just put porta potties right on top of those exact locations and just ask that?
All right.
But let's not send anything out until the board approves it.
Yeah.
Just my thought process.
Okay.
We've never had a complaint from citizens that there's something wrong with the outhouses. That they were repaired not too long ago. They're all in good shape. I'm just concerned where the money's coming from for these porta-potties when we don't have the budget for it. I'm speaking as a...
The money for the porta-potties is going to be... It's almost exactly the same as what we were paying Gina to clean the porta-potties. It's a marginal difference. I got to go. I got an 11:15 phone call coming in. So I'm gonna hang up. Everything else got to be done either without me or next meeting.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you.
I don't think we have anything else other than correspondence. The only other thing was Gloria Aspinall was gonna have an appearance, not an appearance, but talking on the phone. And actually, she had to go to Laconia, so she can't be here today.
Okay.
So thank you, Adam.
Okay, I think he's gone, and I think I'll go, and it sounds like we at least got to hear from the public and took their opinions into consideration.
Yeah, let me just open up again to the public. Anybody else have any questions? It doesn't have to be pertained to today's agenda. Do you have any other questions or concerns for the commissioners?
This is Isabel. Sorry, I had to pull out for a couple of meetings, and then I'm back on now.
Okay.
In regards to an earlier comment that was made, it says that I attended a meeting in communications meeting in March, but I did not. The last meeting I attended was January 9th. So my concerns with this is that what do we have out for scheduling, the calendar items on the website is not working. I don't see anything on there other than just words and certain things like that on the front page. But I would like to see something on the calendar that says communications meeting, and that way the public understands that these things are happening and that we can also forecast in the future to plan accordingly so that we can all join or be participating or ask questions of the minutes and whatnot.
No, I agree, Isabel, and I take responsibility for that, for not being as proactive with the communications committee. And I've been away. I'm actually I'm driving home right now in a vehicle, so I'll be back in the district tonight, and we'll be better at communicating that and having a better handle on the communications committee itself. Because when I'm away, if we don't have a physical quorum at the meetings, we can't have a meeting. So now that I'll be in the district, and Mike Dolan's there.
Hello?
Oh, Kathy. I think we lost you, Kathy. You still there? I think you're in a dead zone, Kathy. Isabel, did you get her correspondence, her message?
Yeah, just what you guys heard. She did break off. So what I'm looking for is that the calendar on the website be updated. That's all. I don't think that it's ever been, to my knowledge, descriptive as far as what things are, when they are, and times and matching up with meeting minutes and so forth. So just wanted to mention that, because I was not on that March meeting, as Kathy had mentioned, because it was I was unaware of any meeting that occurred during that time. So the last one that I attended was January 9th, and I should be on them every single month or as often as they are actually on, if I'm part of that meeting, that committee.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yep.
And then that brings me to the next point, too, is that, do we have the right outline or committee job descriptions or mission goals set up? Because I'm not really sure that resources are being utilized appropriately across different things. And what comes up to mind is, do the commissioners have their leads on different projects scattered out appropriately? Do they have the right needs and rights to sign off on different projects based on what they're leading? So, for example, if Commissioner 1 leads a project, then Commissioner 2 or 3 would have to sign off on it before it moves forward. Same thing that happens with financials, so that, you know, Kelly can continue to move forward with his projects without having to go to a meeting and whatnot. As long as a commissioner is a lead on that project and Kelly is the lead point of contact, all he would need is just a second signature from another commissioner so that he can move forward with those projects. And as Adam said, we're not lingering on and hazard of any kind of sort or any kind of viability of doors not opening or malfunctioning. So my point of that is, I guess, many things, but having leads on projects, having job descriptions and things in place so that there's a process to be followed.
Yeah, so in regards to having a lead on a project, we sort of have that now, but with regards to signing off on moving forward on projects or even making expenditures, that by law has to be a consensus or majority of the Board of Commissioners as well as having the treasurer sign off on any check that gets expended. That's just law that Kelly wants to make a purchase, and just one commissioner being able to sign off is not legal. It'd have to be two of the three commissioners as well as
right. No, that's exactly what I said. I if that came off that way, I apologize. But what I was saying is having one commissioner as a lead, meaning understanding what's going on, and then having the second commissioner sign off on it. To make
right.
Any sense? Because I heard a lot on this meeting that I wasn't aware of this. This wasn't brought up to me. Blah blah blah. But really, essentially, if you have three commissioners and you have 12 projects, then you have four leads. All three commissioners would have four different projects in their leading, and then once they get to a point where they can share that information or a purchase needs to happen, then we move forward with the next phase.
Right.
Because there shouldn't be just one commissioner leading everything and having to know of everything, because it's just not virtually possible. Everyone is a human being, we're not machines, so there should be one lead, and that one lead should take control of the project and be able to facilitate communications across whatever mediums need to happen.
Isabel?
Isabel, this is Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly, to speak to that, a lot of towns like Conway, they have a town manager. The town manager has the authority to make decisions like that. It's a great thing. But in a small place like this, you have to, because what's happened in the past is one commissioner will interpret words spoken by the road foreman differently than what the road foreman intended. I'm trying to be careful with my words. In the past where I've said something and it's been conveyed differently, so I prefer to talk to more than one commissioner just to be safe that my words aren't misconstrued into me not wanting to do something or wanting to do something that wasn't right. It's a slippery slope. I guess I'm trying to protect myself. Two commissioners at least present when I make decisions like that. I think it'd be great if I could just go out and do these things with one commissioner. We had Jay's my liaison. I do pass things by him, but he can't even make a decision. Yeah, go ahead and do it. It has to go to at least two of them.
And I don't disagree with it. That's exactly what I'm saying. So if Jay is the lead on a project, whatever it is, so for example, the doors, I didn't get the scope of everything that you guys talked about, so I did have to step away. But if the doors need to be purchased, then Jay would be the lead on to make sure that we have quotes, we have all the information needed, and then at some point bring it to a commissioner's meeting and say, here's what we come up to. Kelly and I worked on this. Here's the caveats of what we do and we don't, and this is how much it's cost. I know it's not in the budget, but this is what I'm presenting. Do we get an approval or not? And you move forward from that. That way it's not just, Adam going in on this and that and this. I'm just picking names here. I'm not picking persons. But it's not one commissioner on everything, and then you get a lot of balls that are being dropped. So what I'm saying is a project lead. So a commissioner would be responsible for a project lead, not necessarily the approval, but just leading that project and then communicating that with the rest of the commissioners. That way you're focusing on smaller topics.
That makes great sense, except in my experience over the last year that we're having a hard time getting commissioners to agree on things. So one commissioner will bring the information in, but then it was kind of tying my hands for a while because no one was agreeing in this office. I hate to say that, but I think people know it. So I'll leave it alone. Isabel, I thank you for thinking of it, though.
Is Kathy still on the call?
No.
I'm sorry. Kathy left the call, so theoretically that adjourns the meeting.
Is anyone there?